Sí.
Después otro café.
Hi, this is Ira.
Hi, Ira. Here's Till.
Hi, Till.
So perhaps we'll wait for the guy from Kyocera.
Yeah, Matthew. Probably a good idea.
Yes.
Of course, maybe it isn't.
Yes, last week I have totally forgotten it, and something like 50 minutes after I've seen that there's the meeting.
Yeah, we saw your alarmed email just as I was sending you a ping wondering where you were. That's all right.
Hi. Hello?
Matthew Morikawa. Hi.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi.
Till and Ira here. Thank you for calling.
So I think we can start now, because I think we don't expect more people to join.
I don't think so. If they do, they do.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there any update on IPP over USB feedback, or same as last month?
No
update? Okay.
No.
On IPP Everywhere self-certification, I'll stick an updated note in the minutes, but there are, I think, 5 known issues, and Mike is going to post an issues list shortly. I mean, you could log in and see the issues now, but, you know, a complete list of issues. Mike Sweet and Smith Kennedy of HP are working on it. Smith actually has some code to repair one of the issues, and they're working on how to commit that code, of course, in GitHub without, clobbering each other by presumably a pull request. There isn't a new CUPS release in the last
Yes.
Is there?
No. The newest one, I think, is 2.1.4. Do you have it already in your list?
Yes, and the 2.2
beta 1.
Yep, I have those in my list from last month's notes, and I'll leave them in. Do you have a new CUPS filters release or no?
Yes, the 1.10.0. So it's a release which contains new features.
Okay.
Yes. Especially the CUPS browse, when you have a network pointer, a network IPP pointer, so not a remote CUPS queue, then it always creates queues with a PPD file and not with a System5 interface script anymore.
Okay.
This change I've done as a reaction to the case that in CUPS 2.2.x we don't have support for interface scripts anymore due to security reasons.
Right. Apple security people weren't happy about it.
Because interface scripts, they bring executables together with the print queues, and so they are less secure than PPD file-based queues.
Right. Because a PPD file-based queue is the metadata is static, not dynamic like a script.
Yes, and I modified CUPS BrowseD so that the PPD generator does not only work strictly with IPP 2.something, where all the capabilities are returned by to the requests by IPP. But if the printer has an inferior IPP, then the gaps are filled first by what the printer tells by DNSSD, because that also tells some capabilities. And if this fails, default values are inserted.
Okay.
For example, the 10 most common paper sizes.
Right.
And this way, all the queues, as long as you do not explicitly ask for using the System5 interface script solution by the CUPS browseD.con file, usually all the queues are created with PPD file then. And another thing is CUPS changes all config files, everything which is in etc cups and subdirectories, to a non-world readable permission, meaning that a filter cannot directly read a PPD file. A filter can't request the PPD file through IPP from the cups daemon. And this excludes the possibility to write filters as shell scripts, as for shell scripts there are no IPP bindings.
Right.
For Python and Perl there are IPP bindings, but not for shell scripts. And therefore I've modified the filters so that all the filters are written in C. And another thing is, doing this, I found out that the filter for text-only printers, named text-only, and coming in from years ago from Red Hat, was simply unusable. It was a PPD file which had it only as only adjustable option whether you want to send a form feed or not after each page. And it had only one page size letter, as the page size option is required in a PPD file, the only required option. But this option is totally ignored for a text-only printer. And the filter was a script. So this was also part of my effort to get rid of script-based filters. And now I have replaced it by a filter which is written in C, and where you can really assign to the page sizes. You can assign how many columns and lines of characters they have. And so it means really something if you change the page size. And also some more text-related options, like, so it got a really usable thing to it. And then the cups 1.10.0 got a raster 2PS filter, written by Pranjal from the Google Summer of Code as a part of the new PDF support. Raster 2PS by itself does not use new PDF, but new PDF can produce raster, and to make PostScript printers work with new PDF, you use a chain of new PDF to raster plus raster 2PS.
Ah.
And therefore we have this filter now.
Very good.
And then I've also usual crashes and small thingies, and this made them 1.10.0.
Rather than 1.9.1 as you had predicted last month.
Yes, because it adds features.
Right.
The PPD, the PPD only queues and cups browse and the text to PDF and the text to text filter, at least these two are new features.
Right. And the new PDF based raster to PDF or PDF to raster rather.
PDF based. It's a simple C program, copied some stuff from the raster view program which Mike has written years ago for debugging raster output.
Right.
And yes. And what is new PDF based? This is Pranjal is writing now. He writes now new PDF to raster. And when he's finished with this, one only needs to get some cons rules. And with that, we have new PDF support.
Wonderful. And is we're past the midterm evaluation late in June. Can you send me status updates, or well, and also tell us a little about Any yes. updates on his IPP discovery work?
Yes, yes. The open on whose IPP discovery work? Ah, yes, the on the other student. Yes.
Right. The
two students. Yes, the two students have passed midterm, and all the others for the Linux Foundation too.
Oh, good.
So no failures. And so our two students are continuing to work on their projects.
Excellent.
I think until end of August.
Yeah, that's what the it says in the schedule from Google Summer of Code. Till the 22nd of August, and Google Summer of Code announces results on the 30th of August.
Yes, yes. And in this case, for the end-term evaluation, in these evaluations, always the students have to submit a form and the mentors have to submit a form. And this, and usually it was done in the same time window. So at one deadline, all students had to submit their forms, and all mentors had to submit their forms too. But this year, for the end term, the students will have to submit at first, because included in their form, they have to attach a tarball of their code. And then the mentors get to fill their forms, and they have the possibility then to see the official code tarball, but usually they do not need to look into it, because if they have well interacted with a student, they know what the student has done, or they have perhaps already committed the code to their project.
Right.
Then the mentors do their evaluation, fill the form, and shortly after the deadline for the mentors, the results are announced to the public, how many students and who has passed the end.
This is a better process, having the students do the evaluation, the final form first, and the tarball.
Yes, yes. Before, the tarball was independent. I think it was even after the complete evaluation when the students had to submit the tarballs. And now they have to do it before the mentor says succeed or fail. And all the students which pass, they will get the second bunch of money.
Good. And our students are doing well.
Yes, yes.
I will put it in the minutes, but let me give you very brief IPP 1.1 updates, the new RFCs coming in ITF. The ITF last call for 2910 BIS, the encoding and transport, completed last week on Monday, and the ITF last call for 2911 BIS, which is the model and semantics, the actual protocol, completes the 29th of July, and there's an IESG telechat scheduled on the 4th of August to talk about IPP. And there was a brand new area director review of 2910 BIS Sunday, the 17th. So Mike is still taking a look at that. There also last week was a review from a fellow in the Ops Directorate, IETF Ops and Management area. He reviewed an out-of-date draft, which was not very good, but he also clearly hadn't read the document shepherd's write-up on the document or the area director's review from last month. So Mike and I talked about the responses, and Mike has sent a response. In most cases, I think we're pushing back and suggesting that he should have actually looked at the current version and looked at 2911, because most of the stuff he asked for with respect to naming other IPP specs and more detailed security considerations were already in 2911, the update. So it's moving along. There's a pretty good chance that it will go into the RFC editor's queue in maybe August, but more likely September.
Yes.
And the IPP system service, we did a review of last week, a substantial review, and I have a major, that was a major update from the 6th of July. And I have another major draft that I'll publish tomorrow that addresses most, maybe all, of the review comments and adds some new content. It is nearly content complete for attribute definitions. For the system object, which is the parent of all the services, extensions for the printer object, a few, and for the new resource object, the former resource service, which was a separate service written in Semantic Model Workgroup, is now being integrated into the system service spec, so there will be first-class operations that, and normally an operator or an administrator, but potentially a user, could use to create a resource object. And resources are such things as fonts and forms and logos, static kind of objects, and also executable objects, either firmware for the main board or the finisher or the console or whatever, or software, generally scripts that are user applications. As we know, most printer manufacturers have a variety of solutions, plugins for their printers, and many have SDKs for those, for building solutions. And those will be covered by standard operations for the first time. And the other thing is, it will be possible for the first time, till this is quite exciting, to create a new IPP printer object in a system. So that you could, for instance, take a system that had one printer with its default set to single-sided and a particular paper size, and create a second printer, effectively a second queue on system, that was double-sided and color and whatever the capabilities of print. You can't create a new one that uses a capability that doesn't exist, but you can change the defaults effectively so as to, at the system, have a second print queue. Or scanner queue, or fax out queue, or whatever. So those are the major updates in the system service. And the finishings 2.1 spec, which Smith Kennedy has been working on, we several times in June at IPP meetings talked extensively about feed direction and orientation, that is, input document orientation, and its impact on finishings. And it's quite, ever since the face-to-face, you may recall, till in April, we've been talking about this, but I think we reached some conclusions with some simpler approaches to extensions using job constraints, rather than major changes to finishings. So Smith is writing that up, and we'll be reviewing it in the August face-to-face at Sharp. And if you're on the PWG mailing list, Jill, if you're not, I should forward this, or we should forward this to printing our...
Yes, I'm not.
Okay, I'll forward it to Printing Architecture. Smith just sent another note to PWG Announce saying that only a few people had registered to come to the face-to-face in at Sharp in Portland, in Camas, Washington, in August, and asking that more people register and declare their intention to travel, or the meeting will be converted to a virtual face-to-face, as we did one meeting last year, the November meeting. So it will either be at Sharp or it will be a virtual meeting. And I'll forward that right away to Printing Architecture as well.
Great.
The other thing is there was a conflict in the November schedule at Lexmark for the next face-to-face, PWG face-to-face, where it conflicted with the U.S. election day, which was a very bad conflict to have. It's been fixed and moved out, so it will not, this is in minutes that I've written up. It's been moved to the 15th and 16th of November, to the third week of November.
Yes. So the elections in the U.S. are on a weekday, on a work day, and not on Sundays, as most elections on the world.
Historically are on the second Tuesday in November or some such date. Why they're on a work day, I've never been clear, but they always have.
Yes. In the UK, there are also elections on work days. The Brexit was a Thursday.
So that's all the PWG news that I have that we can make public yet till you know there's another piece of news soon to be announced. Since this is recorded, Matthew, I'll send you a note press separately and let you know about this. But the PWG is helping out Open Printing. I'll just put it that way.
Yes, yes. So, and I'm looking for how to move it. I think the most difficult point will be to get the www.openprinting.org moved from the Linux Foundation to the PWG to point to the right place.
That will need some help from Linux Foundation administrators, obviously.
Yes, yes.
But I think Mike Sweet will have good thoughts about how to do that.
Yes, yes. Because I've now seen for a lot of times that the administrators are very unresponsive, therefore I've decided to move out with the hosting. And I think some years ago, even on the Linux Foundation, it was completely broken together, and until Open Printing was working again, it took several months.
I recall that time. Yeah, it was broken for quite a while there, several years back. We haven't had very good hosting support, but I think it's not just Open Printing, but some other standing projects of Linux Foundation haven't gotten enough regular responsive administrator support.
Yes, so I'm not the only one with that problem.
No, I've heard of it.
Once I had already the feeling that the Linux Foundation has died, and I looked through the pages, and then suddenly a mail appeared of announcing a conference, and so it seems that they are still alive.
Yeah, I get a lot of mail about Linux Foundation.
A lot of conferences, yes. Yes, they do a lot of conferences. It seems to be their main business to run conferences.
And funding initiatives on core infrastructure and some of their other... The automotive-grade Linux is partially Linux Foundation funded, I think.
Yes, I've seen. They have also an automotive Linux group there inside the Linux Foundation.
So, you know, I think there is development work. I still have not learned what is happening with Linux Standard Base, LSB.
Yes. I can imagine that the Linux Standard Base will sooner or later die. When Snappy is all around, I think people will forget the LSB.
Just not use
it. Because Snappy has a similar goal, meaning packages which are distribution independent. But it seems that it is easier to make Snappy packages and to get them running on all distributions as it is with the LSB.
Okay. Are you continuing to look into that Snappy package?
Yes, I'm continuing to move distribution independent printer driver packages to Snappy.
Okay.
Did you look into Red Hat's Flatpak distribution method?
What?
Red Hat Flatpak?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Okay. I think Red Hat has.
As far as I know, Red Hat also participates in Snappy.
Huh.
So perhaps the most reach I will get with Snappy.
Matthew, if you have links or information about the Red Hat Flatpak method, please forward them to Printing Architecture List so Till and I and others will see them.
Yeah, I'll look into it.
Thank you very much.
I don't know whether perhaps the death of Ian Murdoch perhaps weakened the Linux Foundation somewhat, but I don't really know. I got to the Linux Foundation before they were the Linux Foundation. I got to freestandards.org through the Printing Summit in 2006, through my first one in Atlanta. There,
right.
Jan Murdoch was one of the participants, and he has first offered me hosting, and soon later on, he has offered me to work with the Linux Foundation.
Yeah, and then the year after that, we had a conference at the Open Source Development Lab in 2007 in Portland, when it still existed.
Yes. And then there was the Fusion, or better to say, the freestandards.org has dissolved the OSDL, and then they have called themselves the Linux Foundation.
Right. And started campaigning for funds from big companies, which they've been fairly effective at. And as you say, running an awful lot of conferences, which I presume they use the income from that for open source initiatives, but they certainly seem to have a lot of conferences on one topic or another, Linux related, every year. Matthew, have you ever been to any of the Linux conferences from Linux Foundation?
I've not had a chance yet.
Okay. I keep looking at them and thinking I have finite amounts of time and money for traveling to conferences. So between my trusted computing group work and my printer working group work, that's about as many conferences usually as I can manage in a year. Till, you'll send me a note with updates on CUPS filters.
And
a status update for our two students after their midterm on the work in Google Summer of Code?
Yes, I will do so.
Okay. Good. Well, then we will tentatively talk. I got to look at my schedule here. Right. Tuesday, August 9th. Does that still work?
Yes.
Yeah, I see no problem with it.
Okay, good. And because September 7th is a Brazilian holiday for TIL, we have tentatively scheduled the September meeting for the 14th of September as well. And that's where we are. Okay, good. I suggest we adjourn, and I'll do some minutes and write some more updates about the PWG stuff. And Phil, you'll send me some updates on cups filters.
Yes, I will do so.
Okay, good. Thank you both for calling, and we'll talk again next month, if not before.
Yes, see you then.
Okay, bye.